Ladies and gentlemen, hope you enjoy.
Kevin and Bean's Breakfast with Mumford and Sons.
You people never cease to amaze me.
K-Rock.
Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for Mumford and Sons.
Number my days, and I'll go along with everything you say. But I ride home laughing, look at me now. The walls of my town, they come crumbling down. And my ears see the call of my unborn sons, and I know the choice is color. I'll explain it all to the watchman's son. I ain't ever lived a year better spent in love. But I know my weakness, know my voice, and I'll believe in grace and choice. And I know perhaps my heart is fast, but I'll be born without a mind. City that nurtured my greed and my pride, I stretch my arms into the sky. I cry, Babel, look at me now. The walls of my town, they come crumbling down. You ask, where will we stand in the winds that will howl? As all we see, we'll slip into the clouds. Come down from your mountain and stand where we've been. You know our breath is weak and our body's thin. Press my nose up to the glass around your heart. I should have known I was weaker from the start. You'll build your wall, I will play my bloody part to tear them down. Well, I'm gonna tear them down. 'Cause I know my weakness, know my voice, and I'll believe in grace and choice. And I know perhaps my heart is fast, but I'll be born.
Thank you very much.
How about that? How about that? How are you guys? Welcome. Thanks for coming. Breakfast with Mumford and Sons. Tell us about playing the Hollywood Bowl. What's that like? Is this the first time you guys have ever played it?
It's the first time we've ever been there, actually.
What are your thoughts about it?
It's been amazing. It's massive. It's absolutely massive. It's bleeping massive.
Were you surprised at the size of the audience, the size of the grounds?
Yeah, and we've seen lots of photos of all the bands that have played there before, and it always looks really epic. And then we walked out on stage, and we were like, yep, that really is a lot of people.
Do you guys still have those moments? Because, I mean, really, you started in, what, 2007, 2008. You still have those moments where you go, I can't believe I'm here doing this?
Yeah, I think the fact that we're still quite a young band, I think we have those moments all the time. I think, yeah, the bowl's a good example. They're pretty much every gig we do is a good example of one of those moments.
Let's talk about the early days for a minute. I forget which one of you was being interviewed, but I heard you talking about a place. I think it was Edinburgh or someplace. You were talking about the fact that it was raining sweat from the roof.
Yeah, it actually destroyed one of these keyboards, and it was a really hot, tunnel underneath a pub, and everyone piled in. It was freezing outside, so everyone was wearing lots of jackets and jumpers and stuff. And then, but we basically started playing, and the whole room just got full of everyone's. I don't know. It was a nice way to.
It was gross.
Yeah, it was just disgusting.
It was gross.
It was totally sweat, and then it started dripping off the ceiling, and then we all walked out afterwards, having shared something pretty intimate.
That sounds bad. Not fun, right?
Kind of enjoyed it, actually.
Nothing antibiotics wouldn't cure after the show, I'm sure. And here's another song. Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for Mumford & Sons.
Well, I keep cold like a stone, and I feel heavy into your arms. These days of dust, which we've known, will blow away with this new sun. Inside my heart, so tame my flesh and fix my eyes, tethered mind freed from the lies. But I'll kneel down, wait for.
I will wait.
Kevin, we got to take a break real quick. It's our breakfast with Mumford & Sons from the Cat and Fiddle.
K-Rock.
Everybody, it's the moment you've been waiting for.
It's Kevin and Bean's breakfast with Mumford & Sons. K-K-Rock.
We are back. It's our breakfast with Mumford & Sons. Just talking with the guys about playing the Hollywood Bowl, about playing some of the early gigs. Let's talk about recording albums. You've done two whole albums now.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Tell me about the 10-song game.
Oh, it's a quite healthy thing. It's we actually learned it from some friends of ours who played a 20-song game.
Whew.
Yeah, and we weren't really quite ready for that. So we played the 10-song game, and in 6 hours we all go to different places with whatever instruments you want. And you got to write 10 songs, and it basically it focuses your mind on quantity and not quality. So you don't overthink everything.
It's 6 hours.
6 hours.
Write 10 songs.
It's a pretty, impossible task. And a 20-song game is 12 hours, just to clarify.
Okay, all right.
But it's quite good because it allows you just to sort of let it all out. So you get all the stuff that you've been sort of messing around with for too long and it's been overthought. You get all that out of the way, and then the fresh stuff starts coming through. So it's quite a fun game.
Who's the worst at it? Which one of you is the worst at the 10? Really?
Marcus?
You're willing to take that one?
I didn't even have the wherewithal to write a song, which Winston did, called I Hate the 10-Song Game.
Oh, good.
I just sat there and picked my nose. And...
Did all of you come up with 10 or no?
No.
None of us came up with
10. None of you did. Oh, so a giant failure. did you use any of the songs from the game on the album? Did any of them make it?
Possibly.
Did actually. Where Are You Now came from that.
Yeah. Where Are You Now?
Speaking of great songs, Lover of the Light, one of my favorites, also features an amazing video starring Idris Elba, and I think he co-directed it as well, if I'm not mistaken. How did that partnership come together? How did you guys, and you may know Idris Elba from Luther or from The Wire, he's done a bunch of movies, great actor and obviously a great director. How did that project come together?
Yeah, he's a great British actor. I was definitely shocked. I think quite a lot of people were shocked that he was British, having discovered him on The Wire and being so convincing.
We've learned that all good actors are British.
Yeah.
It's a little annoying, I got to be honest.
And they keep taking our goddamn American jobs. There's not enough unemployed actors in this country as there is.
All right, so he's British. All right.
Yeah, he's British. And
how did the partnership come together?
Well, we're pretty proud of our British roots, so we like to keep things as much that way as possible. And he was like a friend, and we basically got introduced to him, and he was a fan of what we were doing, and obviously we were of his. So we just met up in a pub in London and talked about the idea of doing a video together, because we hate being in music videos ourselves. we did too many videos where we're just basically on screen, and we didn't get into this to do that. So he kindly helped us out to get out of that loophole, basically.
It's a beautiful video. It really is kind of touching.
No,
although I don't understand it at all.
No.
Is that all right?
Yeah.
I have no idea.
The reason you don't understand it is because you're American. That's it.
Oh, come on.
Americans Nicely have a good done. Sense of humor, right?
Nicely done.
Oh,
well played, sir. How about some more music from Mumford & Sons? How about that?
That sounds good.
This is a quiet one. You saw my pain washed out in the rain and broken glass. You saw the blood run from my veins, but you saw no fall, no cracks in my heart, and you knelt beside my hope torn apart. But the ghosts that we knew, well,
flicker from you and we'll live a long life. So give me hope in the darkness that I will see the light. 'Cause oh, they gave me such a fright. But I will hold as long as you like. Just promise me we'll be alright. So lean me back and turn south from that place and close my eyes to my recent disgrace. 'Cause you know we'll share my own, and our children come, they will hear me roar. So give me hope in the darkness that I will see the light. 'Cause all they gave me such a fright. I will hold as long as you like. Just promise me we'll be alright.
Take another quick break. We'll hear some more music from the band, and then we'll come back with some questions from the audience. How about that? Here in the world-famous K-Rock, Breakfast with Mumford & Sons.
Rock and roll, baby.
It's Kevin and Bean's Breakfast with Mumford & Sons.
We are back. It is Breakfast with Mumford & Sons. Welcome. Thank you to the guys for coming out so early. Let's find King of Mexico out there with some questions from the audience.
Hi, guys. Here I am. I got Taryn. Hey guys, how you doing? So my question is, what's the first thing you do when you're done with the tour and you get home?
Laundry.
Yeah.
Especially when it's been raining sweat, I guess you would want to clean your clothes. What do you miss most being away from home?
Clean clothes.
It's all about the laundry, right?
Yeah.
Hygiene, we're a very hygienic race.
Do you not do laundry on the road? Because
we do when we can, but
I'm going to move back if you don't mind.
You're rarely able.
Oh, party foul.
This is a peaceful gathering.
Nicely done.
This is a peaceful gathering.
We are at a pub. It only makes sense. A few broken glasses.
Dave, how about one more question?
I got Eve.
Hi. What is something you miss doing prior to your...
Sorry.
What is something you miss doing prior to your fame?
What could you do before that you can't now that you're famous? Do you miss anything?
I don't think there's one thing that we can't do now that we did before. I mean, we're not like... I think we're really like a famous band. I think people know our music, which is cool, and that's kind of nice and that, but like, we're not really restricted in what we do, I don't think.
It's different in America than it is in England, though, right? I mean, if you're in England...
No, not really.
Not really?
No, you guys don't
really.
Get mobbed going down the street?
We're always on tour, so nothing's changed, really, but we just play gigs all the time.
Do you get lost where you are sometimes and try to...
Get lost inside big buildings like Spinal Tap.
Hello, Cleveland.
Yeah, exactly.
One more question before we break?
Yeah, I got Nicole here.
Hi.
Hi, Nicole.
My fiance proposed at your show in Monterey, so we love you.
Come on.
What did he say?
Oh.
What did you say?
Nice.
She said yes, everybody.
Yeah.
Woo!
My question.
When are you getting married?
March 2014.
Nice.
Marcus is asking the questions now.
I'll send an invite.
Would you like the guys to be the wedding band?
Yeah, for sure. I'll send an invite.
Are you guys free?
You can come by.
Yeah, we'll definitely be there.
Can awesome. You guys do play that funky music? Or anything like that?
$1 million.
I'll figure it out.
All right, your question?
What has been the most surreal moment for you as a band?
They're looking at each other.
Los Angeles is a pretty surreal place. Think. Is that how you pronounce it? Los
sure.
Angeles?
Yeah.
But no, it's pretty weird. Lots of, like, it's very glitz and glamoury. And, yeah, I don't know.
You guys don't seem like you fit in the glitz and glamoury category.
Well, we really want to.
You do.
Yeah, but we're not really accepted into it. We're trying, though. One day.
You're not trying very hard, I don't think.
What? You
I
in
think you like who you are.
New York.
Oh, well, you like who you are. You're
I
not
like
gonna...
who I am.
Yeah.
I don't like who I am.
I'm guessing.
I like who you are. You're all right.
You're the only one. Please put your hands together for these great guys, Mumford and Sons.
We came to the end, it seemed. You had heard as we walked the city streets, you never said a word. When we finally sat down, your eyes were full of spite. I was desperate, I was weak, I could not put up a fight. But where are you now? Do you ever think of me in the quiet, in the crowd? You were strangely less in pain than you were cold. Triumphant in your mind of the logic that you hold. You said no one would ever know the love that we had shared. As I took my leap to go, it was clear you didn't care. Where are you now? and you're going in the town. I hear stories of your smile, I hear stories of your frown. And the darkness can descend, we can relish all the pain. But I know that's what you love, 'cause you know I love the same. But where are you now? Where are you now? Do you ever think of me in the quiet, in the crowd? Where are you now? Where are you now? Do you ever think of me in the quiet, in the crowd? Where are you now? Where are you now? Do you ever think of me in the quiet, in the crowd?
Breakfast with Mumford and Sons.
The Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Breakfast with Mumford and Sons.
We are back. It is Breakfast with Mumford and Sons. First thing in the morning. We have maybe a couple of questions from the audience, and then we're going to get some more music. Dave, you got somebody out there?
Let's hear what Molly has to say.
Molly?
Hi. Huge fan. My question, which I never dreamed I'd be asking, is which one of you is the coolest?
Oh, good question.
Why don't we have a vote? Just amongst the band, I think we'd all agree it's Ted.
Ted's the coolest.
Really? You didn't know that?
I'm in.
It's cool because he doesn't even know.
He doesn't even know it.
I'm not holding things together at all.
But the stand-up bass is a chick magnet, though, isn't it? It's very sensual. It's very sensual.
Yeah. You just kissed it. One more question, Dave, or no?
Yeah, I got Charlie.
Hi. One of my favorite songs is White Blank Page, and I've always wondered what the inspiration was for it.
Was it part of the game? Was it the 10 songs?
It wasn't a 10-song game. We wrote that half in a place where we actually recorded the first album in East Coast Studios, and half in a little rehearsal space, which was our first and only ever rehearsal, in underneath the railway track in Putney. And we were listening to a lot of Beirut at the time. Really like that band Beirut. That'll probably do, won't it?
Now, I noticed that three out of the four of you list yourselves as drummers, or at least on your bio it says you're a drummer, and yet there's a strange lack of drums.
Yeah.
Considering that
fact.
Do
you just say that because no one can call you on your bullshit?
Banjo boy is hanging his head. That's sad. It's all right, man.
Wynn's actually really coming on. He's been practicing a lot.
Is that right?
I think he's nearly a drummer.
Well, I noticed, Marcus, that you play the bass drum, and then you also play the tambourine with each foot. That seems confusing.
We were going to get a drummer when we started out, but the problem with drummers is they're all kids.
Yeah.
So
it's three kids in this band.
I mean, Spinal Tap covered that pretty well, sure. Right? But we just thought instead of...
Are you at your kid limit?
Yeah,
as far as
we're full of
enough. Plus, why split five ways when you can split the check four ways? Oh, really, right? Yeah.
How about some more music from Mumford & Sons? How about that?
That sounds good.
Here we go.
It's empty in the valley of your heart. The sun, it rises slowly as you walk away from all the fears and all the faults you've left behind. The harvest left no food for you to eat. You cannibal, you meat eater, you see. But I have seen the same, I know the shame in your defeat. Hold on, hope, I'll let you choke on the noose around your neck, and I'll find strength and pain, and I will
change my ways, know my name as it's called again. I have other things to fill my time. You take what is yours and I'll take mine. Now let me in the truth, it shall refresh my broken mind. So tie me to a post on my heels. I can see widows and orphans through my tears. Know my call despite my faults, despite my growing fear. Come out of your cave, walking on your hands, and see the world hanging upside down. You can understand dependence when you know the maker high. So make your sirens call and sing all you want. I will not hear what you have to say. Because I need freedom now, and I know how to live my life as it's meant to be. Hey!
How about this? Winston, Ben and Ted, Mumford and Sons.
Thank you so much, guys.
Thank you.
Summertime. That means it's time to think about getting the latest K-Rock sticker on your car. You can pick up at all Southern California Del Taco locations, and you mail in the back. And we're doing an unbelievable grand prize drawing this year. A 2012 Honda Civic Hybrid, a 2012 Honda Motorcycle, plus tickets to see Incubus and Linkin Park together in the Honda Civic Tour. You get all of that. And if you want to stop by Del Taco this afternoon in Costa Mesa from noon to 2, our own beer mug is going to be there. It's just off the 55 freeway at Superior Avenue. Mugs, you're going to have all sorts of concert tickets. You're giving away Warped Tour, the whole deal down there, right?
Yep, AWOL Nation, all the good stuff, and free food, too.
And you're eating Del Taco every single day when you go out to do these appearances?
I'm trying to limit the intake I have.
Yes,
I'm going to the gym, and then I'm working it off. So it's
Del
good.
Taco is a proud sponsor of this event. You're eating Del Taco, and you're liking it, Beer Mug.
Absolutely.
Okay. Get the details at krock.com. There's not a time I've ever gone to him where he's given me what I hoped for.
So my question is, why do you continue going to him?
I don't know what it is.
Give up.
I keep thinking he's been in radio long enough.
Give
at some point he'll get it.
Up. You've been working with me. You know that's not true.
All right, here's a story we mentioned briefly last week, but now it's time to open up the telephone calls for you. If you haven't been involved in, we're looking for marriages, right? You have to have gotten married and then either cheated or been cheated on, right?
I think the marriage is the magic part, because the final step. It's the lifelong promise that you make to somebody, and then we're looking for the shortest amount of time before cheating happened.
Yeah, we want to hear your stories. If you guys got married and then 5 days later he cheated on you, or 2 weeks later you cheated on him, whatever your story is, we want to hear how it all happened at 1-800-520-1067. And the reason this is in the news is because of a very real story that was reported in the Austrian Times last week, where a guy cheated on his wife at his own wedding reception.
Yeah! Come on, at the reception.
Wow. Well done.
It's not possible to get any better than that unless it's during the ceremony.
Yes. If you bang a chick during the service, then maybe you win.
So we're not going to get any calls like that. That's
no, we're
crazy.
Not going to beat this, but it does get us in the mood to hear your stories. 27 years old, he ties the knot in Feldkirch, Austria. Apparently, there was a great deal of drinking going on at the reception, as is often the case, and he was found having sex with a waitress who was working the reception. The father of the bride is the one who caught them, by the way.
Oh, no.
He stopped the party, told all the guests to leave. Oh. And by the way, his new bride, of a matter of a couple of hours, wants a divorce.
What?
What is she, uptight? But according to Austrian law, it is reporting that she is going to have to wait 6 months, like everybody else, to split in accordance with Austrian law. Now, Lisa, you brought up an excellent point. In this country, this would be go to the courthouse and say annulment, right?
Yeah,
because we got married but didn't consummate.
Yeah. You know,
apparently,
funny.
That's not the case here.
You know what's funny about this is that it sounds like it's not someone he knew. You would think most of the time the cheating would be...
It would be an old flame.
An old flame,
right?
A long-time girlfriend, yeah. Something that you've known before. But it sounds like he ran into her at the wedding reception and closed the deal. Come on, you got to give him credit for that.
And what about this waitress, by the way, who probably gets hit on, you know, a lot. But don't you... Isn't there something in you that says, I'm going to say no this time because he's the groom?
Yes, I would think so.
I would think so if she gets hit on all the time. If she doesn't,
well,
maybe not.
Yeah. Well, I love this story so much. And we want to hear yours, too, at 1-800-520-1067. We want to hear stories of almost instant cheating after you got married. Let's take Cynthia real quick before the break. She's on line two, and she'll get us going here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Cynthia. Thanks a lot for calling. How are you?
Hello, Cynthia.
Hello, Cynthia.
Oh, she hung up.
How long did she say it was?
She said it was 7 days.
7 days. Oh,
but this is key. This is really key because this makes it even funnier. It was with her sister.
Aww.
Her husband cheated on her with her sister 1 week after they got married.
Yes.
I bet Cynthia. You that happened before.
That's what, you know, that you have to think like that kind of thing was going on before.
They didn't wait till the wedding.
So
after.
We'll take your phone calls. 1-800-520-1067. You got married or friends of yours got married or whatever. And the shortest amount of time until the cheating happened. Because that the shorter it is, the funnier it is.
Right.
Because you're making these lifelong promises. And then you can't even keep it in your pants until after the reception. How strong is that? It's ridiculous. 1-800-520-1067.
Oh, this should be fun. We're taking your calls right now at 1-800-520-1067. We're looking at your stories of, I got married, but it wasn't enough for me, and I cheated 2 days later. That's what we're looking for right now. Or you were the cheat-e. However it worked out in your life, we want to hear your stories at 1-800-520-1067. Let's start with Randy. Randy's on line four. And this, of course, because of the story in the news about the guy in Austria who cheated on his wife at their wedding reception. Randy, welcome to the show. What's going on?
How's it going, party people?
Good.
3 days.
Three days. Who cheated on who?
I cheated on her.
After what? 3 days?
Well, the reason this is so awesome, as Kevin pointed out, is because you've made the commitment and walked into getting married and basically stood up in front of your friends, your family, your minister, your God, and said, this is my one person for the rest of my life. How does all of that change so quickly?
Before, we had a really good relationship. We had a real good sex life. Everything was fun. Amazing time with her.
But then things cooled off after 3 days?
Well, that's just the thing. That night of the wedding, I was like, you know, natural thing to do is start trying to get frisky that night. But she's like, I'm tired. I'm sorry, really tired. All right, no big deal.
You say, that's it, I'm out.
And by the way, before you go on, Lisa, back me up, but that's not uncommon, right?
Not at all.
Stress and a super, super long day, a long couple of days before the wedding. You can give the woman a pass that night.
Exactly. That's no big deal. One night, no big deal.
All right.
I tried the next night after that. She's like, no, I'm busy. Okay. Tried the third night, and she was like, nope, sorry, I won. I got the ring on you. All you're going to do now is support me. I have a really good job, so she used me as a bank account.
Really?
Dude.
Wait, she said that in so many words?
It was a little bit more in depth than that, but just shorten it down for you guys.
But basically, she said, I'm not having sex with you?
Pretty much.
Was she having sex with you before?
Exactly. That's all. I'm like, so all the times before, she's like, "Well, how do you think I got you in?"
Wow. All right. So who did you go out and bang?
Actually, it was just I went to the bar. Some random girl. She was not the greatest looking girl.
Well, that wasn't the point.
Just the point was is because you're so gorgeous, but screw it.
She's not
somebody uglier than you.
She's not Miss Now. She's Miss Right Now.
So what did you do? You had sex with this girl, and then you went back to your new wife of 3 days and said, hey, I cheated on you?
Yeah, I say, oh, yeah, by the way, we're getting a divorce. Here's the paperwork.
Good times.
Dude, wow. You returned the gifts, though, right?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Liar.
That's fantastic. All right, thank you very much for the call. Appreciate that.
Thank you.
All right, let's go to Megan. Megan's on line two. Please hold on, Amber. Please hold on, Thomas. Please hold on, Ryan. We'll get to as many calls as we can. Who did I say? Megan, you're up now. Go ahead.
Hi, Megan.
Hi, guys.
When did the cheating begin?
Well, actually, it was, I guess it took place a week before we got married at his bachelor party weekend thing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's fine. That doesn't even count.
No.
Uh-huh, because you're not married yet.
You're not married yet.
Yeah. But then we got married a week later, and then we went on our honeymoon. 4 weeks after we got married, guess who's pregnant? His ex-girlfriend.
What, from the bachelor party?
I'm sorry, who's
from
pregnant?
From the bachelor party. His ex-girlfriend that he was with at his bachelor party. Pregnant, keeping it, you're the baby daddy, what's up?
Wow.
And how did that all work out with you you happy three people?
Oh, perfectly.
Well, I had to wait 6 months to divorce him because we've been married for a month.
Right.
And then I did, and now he's miserable, and his child support payments are really high, and I'm having a great time.
let me ask you one more thing. How did you find out that he had cheated on her, or on you, I guess I should say, at the bachelor party? Was it when she turned up pregnant?
Yeah, it was when she turned up pregnant.
Jerry! That's fantastic.
I guess he had gone home with her, so nobody saw it happen, because my brothers were at the bachelor party with him.
Sure.
So whatever, I found out.
You had your spies.
I love it. Thank you very much, Megan. Appreciate the call. Let's go to Amber. Oh, this is getting extremely juicy here on the Kevin and Bean Show today. 1-800-520-1067. Amber, you're the one who did the cheating this time?
Yeah, it was me.
It was you. Okay. When was it?
Well, my friend was getting married, and me and her husband were kind of always attracted to each other. So on their wedding night, after the reception, we went back to their house, and he was giving me a ride home, and we just hooked up. Like, he was with me, like, the whole night.
What? Wait a minute. It was his wedding night.
Yeah.
They got married, and this is a friend of yours, a girlfriend of yours, who married him.
Yeah.
Okay, so then he took you home, in quotes, and then took you home in bed. And
yeah, because she was too tired to give me a ride home, and she went to bed already.
So he never showed up for his own wedding night with his bride?
No.
He spent the night with you?
Yeah, and then he left before it was morning, but...
Right. How'd that phone call go, I wonder, in the morning? I mean, like, what did he say to her when he got back to the hotel then at 6 a.m. or whatever?
Oh, nothing. They're still married.
Oh, she doesn't know.
She probably was, like, passed out.
Yeah, she was completely and totally passed out. Well, she has no idea.
I think by California law, that's cool.
So he got married. How many hours after he said, I do, was he plowing you?
I think it was like they got married in the afternoon, and it was like probably 10 or 11 o'clock at night.
All right,
by the time I got home,
like 6, 7, 8 hours, something like that. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
That's great.
Did it ever happen again, Amber?
It's been going on for a few years now.
Yeah.
Oh.
Why did you wait till he got married?
Can we have your best friend's number?
I don't know, like, because I had met him through her, because she got me a job at the place that they worked together.
Well, that's the way to pay her back.
She helped get me a job, and we started talking, and I guess we realized, like, we were super attracted to each other, and he said, well, it's too late for me to back out of the wedding now. I mean,
all right, Amber, let me ask you this question. Let me ask you this question.
She must be hot, Bean.
What would happen if he and his wife divorced, and you two ended up? Do you think you guys would be happy together?
Yeah, probably. I mean, we're happy now as things are, so.
Well, let us know what happens. I want to hear from you. I want to hear from you when you guys get together and he starts cheating on you. That's the phone call I'm waiting for.
With his ex-wife.
With his ex-wife.
With his ex-wife, right.
All right, we got to do one more. Thank you very much for the call. We appreciate it. We got to do one more. It's got to be Thomas. He's on line 5. This also looks amazing.
Hey, Thomas.
Hey, guys. Hey, party people. Hey, Lisa May.
Hey, Thomas.
What happened?
Well, my ex-wife cheated on me the day after our wedding on our honeymoon.
Oh! How did that happen?
Cheated on you the day after your wedding.
Aren't you supposed to be together all the time on your honeymoon? Like, where did...
Yeah. Well, here's what happened. She got excessively drunk.
Right.
And we had a fight that, like, mid-afternoon, late afternoon, and she went back to the room, and I didn't see her, and I just stayed and kind of cooled down, went back to the room, and she was with another guy.
When you went back. Where did she meet the guy? Who was it?
I didn't stay to ask, but I her excuse was that she thought it was me.
Yes.
Bitch got no class.
That's the weakest excuse I've ever heard.
Honestly, yeah. I thought it was you.
We got back to L.A., and I went straight to the courthouse, like, hours after that. And
I mean, at least try, I got stung by a bee, and I had the fever. I mean, anything, but I thought it was you.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Mm. And so you guys were married for, like, a day before you filed for divorce.
Well, we had to get back from the cruise, and the cruise
was
really
right.
long.
So great. You're on a cruise.
That was awkward.
Yeah, so you can't get away.
Yeah, I had to go and see if they had another room, and I did that, and yeah, it was bad.
Oh, my
That's
God.
That's awesome.
All right, thank you very much for the call. This was very enjoyable.
You people really know how to screw things up.
Psycho Mike Catherwood joins us in about 20 minutes or so here on the Kevin and Bean Show. It is the first Psycho Body of 2012, so if you're going to have some questions about how to keep those New Year's resolutions and stay fit, he is the man for you. Also, keep listening. Coming up at 9 o'clock this morning, your first chance for the day, and we do it for you every hour all day long, to win tickets to go see Coldplay at the Hollywood Bowl and be qualified for the grand prize drawing to see the band Destination Number 1 of KROQ's World Tour 2012, Coldplay in Madrid, Spain. Details at KROQ.com.
You know how you ask a personal question every once in a while? You don't really want the real answer. You just want people to go, fine, how was your holiday? Fine.
It was good.
That's all they really want. They don't want you to tell the truth. Walked into Omar's studio yesterday.
Not at the Khan household. And it wasn't joyful at my house.
I said, Omar, how was your holiday? Sucked.
Yeah. It was terrible.
I said, why?
Because I had my mom over. And
of course, that didn't take very many follow-up questions.
Yeah. Well, you know, what happened was that we've tried this like 5 years ago. Okay. And it didn't work out too well then.
Wait, you tried to have your mom
over?
Had
my mom over for Christmas.
If you remember, Omar's the one who had the wonderful Thanksgiving where his mom said, make sure and take some time off. And then he came home.
She was
at somebody else's party. He called her. She said, I'm already here. He went to Jack in the Box.
Yeah.
So
she was at a friend's house.
He's not had a good relationship with mom.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we have like a long history of her letting me down. And, you know, that's fine. She didn't go to my graduation.
Omar.
Yeah. She never went to any of my Little League games.
Uh-oh, there's a lot coming out here.
It's a long history of stuff, right? So, you know, as you get older, and especially now, you know, when we started trying to have a kid, you kind of reflect on how you were raised.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I just, like, you know, I was kind of like thinking back. I'm like, oh, my God, my mom's a biatch. like, seriously, right?
Omar's mom is a biatch.
So...
what happened this year?
So this year, my uncle calls me, you know, a week leading up to Christmas. I love my uncle to death.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, yeah,
and that's
totally.
Her brother.
Yeah, that's her brother. I'm like, you could totally come down. It'd be awesome. Be good times.
But you're not bringing my mom, are you?
Well, my mom caught wind of this. Okay. And we haven't spoken, in a year. Okay.
You know why?
So
Omar's mom is a biatch.
Okay. Let me stop you for 1 second.
Yeah.
Omar. I'm sorry. You're going too fast for me.
Okay.
You and your mom have not spoken for a year?
Yeah. And then, you know, but it's fine because before then we would only speak like on birthdays and, you know, that's the kind of relationship that
she wants.
Yeah.
Your whole life.
But in this past year, her birthday came around and you didn't call her. Your birthday came around and she didn't call you and you guys were both just fine with it.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, no big deal. You know, I mean, I think that's just the relationship some people have, you know, with their parents.
Unfortunately, right. Yes.
Yeah,
okay.
You know.
Go ahead.
So, you know, I accepted it that she's very negative. She contradicts everything I say just because I feel like,
just
you know.
Just because you say it?
Yeah, and she's not supportive at all.
Mm-hmm.
And I've come to accept that. It's all good. She is my mom, and, you know, I'm not trying to be hateful. I love her unconditionally.
But you may be
there.
Omar's mom is a biatch.
But she caught wind that my uncle was going to be at Christmas. She gives me a call. So I'm like,
pick up the phone. She's all like, hey, I just want to know if I'm welcome too. And I'm never, ever going to say that my mom is not welcome at my home. Never.
Before this year.
No, ever. But, you know, so I was like, absolutely, if you are willing to come down, because, you know, we have this, you know, kind of like, you know, beef going on.
Sure.
I'm like, it'll be all good, you know.
She's beefing with you.
She's beefing with me, right? So she gets there, and, you know, from the get-go, she it's just nonstop, one thing after another, okay?
Like what? What kind
okay,
of...
Okay, so she hasn't been to our house in about a year and a half.
Mm-hmm. You've done so much work.
So much work, okay? And then we just finished decorating the family room. Mm-hmm. So I ask her, what do you think of...
You're an idiot.
Yeah, I know! I'm asking for it.
Omar did most of the work, so yeah. He's proud of it, so why ask
Absolutely.
Her? All right, so you
She's
ask
all
her.
Like, I like the entertainment center. That's it!
The thing you bought.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then she's all like, I don't really care for this area.
Come on.
Right? Are you kidding me?
Omar's mom is a biatch.
Okay, number two thing. She speaks English, but my uncle doesn't speak a lot of English. Okay, mm-hmm. So I rent the. I figured I want to see that beautiful movie, the Javier Bardem movie, and it's all Spanish.
Correct. Yes.
Okay. I'm like, perfect thing. My mom and my uncle will all be sitting down. We could, you know, kill
Supposed
a couple
to be
hours.
A great movie.
Right. It is. It is. It's an awesome movie. Okay. So I rent it. She goes upstairs and watches TV by herself.
Do you ever want to see it?
No.
At the family gathering.
At the family, right. Exactly.
Wow.
What the hell?
Why is she there?
All right, we get it.
Yeah. and my wife doesn't really speak a lot of Spanish. She understands a word here and there. But whenever we're sitting down speaking, just the three of us, mm-hmm. she always just speaks Spanish.
Because she knows your wife doesn't speak Spanish?
I don't know. My wife seems to think it is.
Like, I do too.
Yeah, you know, and you know me as
Have
her
you
son,
ever said, "Hey, let's speak in English so my wife can understand?"
Absolutely.
And she said,
"And it'll go for about 10 minutes and then she'll flip to Spanish." You believe that? And on Christmas Day, we were sick of tamales and earlier in the summer I made this chili and everybody thought it was fantastic. Mm-hmm. So I invited some other people, my wife's family over and I made the chili. Everybody was saying how awesome it is.
Did you ask her what she thought?
Yeah, I did. Because I'm a dumbass, dude.
Omar's mom is a biatch.
She's all like, yeah, everything's cool. There's a little bit too much ground beef in it. So by the way, I saw her do this after she's finished eating. There's a bunch of ground beef. Trash. She trashes like half the
No one
chili.
Has ever complained that there's too much meat in the chili, by
yeah,
the way.
Yeah, I know.
You just eat it.
Yeah, so, yeah.
Well, hold on a second. If you don't mind, we have your mom on the phone.
What?
I just thought we'd
Are you kidding?
Get her side of the story.
I didn't want to hear this.
I don't know that
your
side can be trusted fully, as we've learned.
How dare you.
Omar's mom.
Omar Razul Khan.
Yes, mom?
How dare you talk about me like this?
You sound different.
Just go with it.
So do you. So do you sound different, my friend.
How do I sound different?
Because you are not, you don't love your mother the way you should.
Oh, yeah. He's been talking smack about you.
I love you unconditionally. I
don't think it's unconditionally. The way I'm listening, it doesn't sound like unconditionally.
Well, what do you mean? I accept all, I'm accepting of all of what you've done.
What have I done but love you?
Well, you didn't like his home decoration.
Or my chili.
You called that a home?
That's his home, yeah.
I worked hard on that.
It's barely a house, let alone a home.
Oh, wow.
What about the backyard? I designed the landscape in the back.
I know, it's like a plant and then like a rock. So you have two things there.
No.
It's not good. My grandchild's going to be raised in like a desert shack.
A desert shack?
Yes.
Well, maybe I'm doing the wrong thing.
And the beef, so much beef, you could have a heart attack.
Yeah, too much beef.
The red meat's not good for you. I'm just looking out for you.
Oh, I see.
It's okay. Love.
Yes. Is that,
it's just love.
It's just
and
tough
Javier
love.
Bardem, he scares me. You know that. I can't watch him since he put those holes in people's heads.
That was just another movie.
No, Mom, I saw him. He had like
I think
an air
confused.
Gun and it put a hole in people's
no,
heads.
No, that was No Country
and
for Old Men.
Yeah. He flipped a coin and no. Next thing you know, you're dead.
Oh, so this is just a big misunderstanding.
I just, what about my feelings? What did you care that I am scared of Javier Bardem? I'm scared of beef? And I'm scared of your wife.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Who could be scared of his wife? She's the nicest person in the world.
Would it kill her to learn to speak Spanish?
She's actually planning to now.
How about Rosetta Stone? She ever heard Rosetta Stone? How about a little effort on her part?
Right, but if you know English, why not speak English to her?
Because
I like to screw with her.
Now it comes out. Okay. Mars, mom,
is all be- we welcome to our studios Channing Tatum and Jonah Hill.
Going on, guys.
From the new movie
21 Jump Street.
Yes.
There you go.
Yes.
Jonah, were you afraid we weren't going to get to that?
You think we forgot why you were here?
You were staring into my eyes and I forgot for a second.
They're easy to get lost
in. We were on the radio and I had to bring it back on target.
21 Jump Street is the name of the movie.
Yeah,
and
buddy.
It comes out tomorrow.
We haven't seen it yet, but everyone that we talked to that has saying it's one of the funniest comedies they've seen in years.
Oh, man.
Oh, thanks,
how
man.
Awesome
That's
is that?
Huge.
Honestly,
huge.
We would not be up this early if it sucked. We would just be sleeping and just let them run the commercials. But that's how
smart.
Much we love it. That I mean, it's crazy, man. We wanted to make Bad Boys Meets a John Hughes movie and... It's about two guys going back to high school thinking for the second time, thinking they have all the answers and realize they have none of the answers.
Yeah.
They get way more caught up in the social elements than the cop work. And it's just crazy
when
funny,
When I see
man.
You guys, I see me. If I were to do that, that's what I would be me. I would get lost in it and I would make all kinds of mistakes and I would run into all kinds of trouble.
Yeah, start drinking and doing drugs with the kids and
that's
trying to sleep
happened.
With them. And that's all that your cop work.
But here's what happens from our standpoint as movie viewers is we'll see a trailer and go, that looks great. And then you go to a movie and a lot
sucks.
Of times it sucks. It doesn't deliver.
You know what's
it
crazy? We're one of the best reviewed movies of the year.
That's unbelievable.
We're at 88% on Rotten Tomatoes, and we're
Rotten
a remake of an
me.
80s TV show. Yeah.
Wait,
according to them,
you?
Up to now, Channing's been a Rotten Tomato. And then now
the whole
he's,
time, bro.
Now he's a big, juicy,
every
fresh
movie you're in?
Not everyone, but generally. Generally. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Started to take it personally after a while?
No, I was just like, I've just kind of signed my fate over to it. I've been like, yeah, that's cool.
What are you
going to
do?
Me. It's fine.
It's
just,
you know, here's the thing. When you first announced you guys were doing it,
everyone rolls their eyes. And go, oh,
yeah, the
crap,
track record, of taking TV shows and trying to make especially comedies out of them has not been terrific.
One of the first jokes in our movie is about how lazy and unoriginal it is to take an old idea and recycle
it's
it.
Literally, yeah. That's great. It might be the first joke.
It's like one of the biggest ones where the cop is telling us about the program 21 Jump Street that he's sending us back to, and he's like. Well, a lot of times these people are lazy and unoriginal and can't come up with ideas. So what we've done is we've recycled an old police program from the 80s.
That's got to be extra pressure going into it, knowing that some people, like you said, are going to roll their eyes. And
I was the first. You know, look, I've been with the movie for 5 years. I started writing it 5 years ago. And,
wow.
And from 23 to 28, I've been working on this movie.
I didn't even know that you wrote it.
Yeah, we both produced it, and I'm one of the writers of the movie.
Fantastic.
And the originator of this version of the project. And for me, I was like, I don't want to remake a TV show. I think it's dumb. But getting to go back to high school and relive that time period, I'm like, that's a fun idea for a movie.
It's
that
awesome.
Could be a great action comedy like Bad Boys Meets a John Hughes movie. And that's what 5 years later, we've made that. You
it's
know?
Also been a long time since 21 Jump Street. I mean, I never watched
long
that
time.
Show.
And the truth of it is like most people in their 20s and stuff like don't even know what,
right,
what 21 Jump Street is.
Maybe it's a footnote in Johnny Depp's career. People know he got his break on that, but that's all they know.
Yeah, and we have a lot of homages to the show, but we definitely did our own thing, you know, with the movie. And it's honestly, it's like a rock concert. It's so fun.
This has to be crazy for you if you worked on it for 5 years for tomorrow to be like giving birth.
It really is bizarre. I don't know if it's like exactly like giving I haven't done it.
I haven't either, but
I'll ask my mom what it was
poop.
Like.
It's like a big poop.
Yeah, okay. Oh, thanks.
You've done that,
okay.
Right?
Serious 5-year-long constipation period, and it all comes out.
No, but
it's a long time to work on a project.
It's a long time, and it's crazy because, you know, it's just crazy that it's actually coming out into the world tomorrow, and it's crazy that, like, you know, I think the real crazy surprise of the movie, besides it, you know, thinking a TV show movie is going to suck, is that it's actually good, is that Chan, you've never seen Channing do a big comedy and star in a big comedy, and he's just kills it in it, like destroys me. I've done a few comedies, whatever, but like he just crushes it, and it's such a surprise for people.
Thanks,
it's for real, and it's exciting to watch an actor do something you've never seen him
how
do.
How did you two get paired up with this?
I just called him up.
You
and
called
said,
him and
yeah.
said,
you knew he'd be funny?
Yeah. How did you know he could be funny?
Yeah.
I don't believe in stuff like that. People outside of making movies have a harder time seeing what they haven't seen someone do.
Right.
But for me, it's like I had just gotten that opportunity with Moneyball to do a drama and got nominated for an Oscar and all this stuff.
Which I was so rooting for you to win, even though I kind of knew you were going
to. Yeah,
so
you got to give it to Plummer. Come on.
So rooting for you.
Thank you, buddy. Yeah. But, and thanks for letting me come on and promote that.
Of course.
But it was someone had just given me a shot to do something that I had never done before.
Did you know at the time that Rotten Tomatoes hated him?
No. Had I known.
You might have made a different choice.
Yeah, I wasn't going to bring it up when he called me. I was going to be like, Jonas.
You know how Rotten Tomatoes. But you know what? Comedies usually get horrible reviews anyways, yes, and the true. Fact that we're 88% on Rotten Tomatoes is pretty insane, man.
Like, that's nice of you to say that an actor can do both, but in fairness, comedy sometimes can be a little more difficult than a drama can be. And Chen, did you have any concerns when you were coming on?
Of course, yeah, of course. I actually made him promise me that I would be funny.
Or he'd beat me up. Yeah. That was exactly what
yeah. Look, jury's still out. Me see if anybody laughs. So Jonah's fate is in y'all's hands. No, man. I mean, he really did. He held my hand through it. And the directors, Chris and Phil, they come from the animation world. I had such a safe place to like really just try anything and fail sometimes.
Was it something that you knew inside you probably had, but you just hadn't?
No, you know, I really
or did you doubt?
He gave me a really good piece of advice in the beginning. He's like, don't try to be funny. Just believe it. And just like you would a normal drama. Or whatever, and let the writing speak for itself. And then I really just sort of chased them along and tried to keep up with what they were doing.
Yeah, I think it's like, I don't know, I think when people try and be crazy funny, it ends up looking stupid. But if you just, he's so genuine in the movie that's what makes it great, is that he's a real person and you believe our friendship and that the whole thing is real. That's what like Bad Boys is so great, is because you love those two guys together,
right.
And it doesn't feel like they're trying to be funny doing like a shtick. It just feels like they're existing, and what's happening is funny, and the action's cool, and you're just being honest. You know?
What kind of a weird world is it where Ice Cube is the head of the cops?
One of the first things we wrote was like, we were like, who should play? Because every movie that we loved growing up, like Beverly Hills Cop and everything, had angry black captain. Right. So we're like, we got to have the angry black captain in our movie, and we're like, who should better to play him than the guy who wrote F the Police?
Right.
You know,
yeah.
That was a big joke that we wanted to have Ice Cube, and we called him up and he said yes. And it's just crazy for me to do this because I was sitting with Mike Bacall, the other writer, we were writing this stuff, and when we started calling people to do it, they just started saying yes. Like, it was just awesome.
When you're sitting there writing for the first 2 to 3 years, does it feel like...
that suddenly just flashed back to sitting in a room.
Does it feel like you don't have any idea if it's ever going to come to the screen? You don't know that it's going to be good. You don't know it's going to get 88%, but you're just writing out of faith.
As a matter of fact... The studio wanted it to happen every year. Want it to take 5 years because it's a big property. So they knew they could make some cash off of it. But for me, it was like, I'm not going to do this and have it be bad.
Right.
So I was the one who kept saying, let's wait more time. Give me more time. It's not ready yet. It's not ready. And that's why it took 5 years, because we got it right, I think.
At some point, did you have to say, okay, now I'm just going to stop because it's been too long. I could go on forever.
Yeah. Honestly, some point you have to just push the train forward and then know – it's time,
So
but it has to be
now?
Close enough. Well, it's once it starts going, it's good. The movie's going. You're starting. It's like the trucks show up and they set up the lights and someone yells action and then you're eventually going.
You're still in your trailer banging out scenes. Yeah. Wait a minute, I got another idea.
We did. Well,
that's
true.
Actually true. Yeah,
I mean, I would write scenes like that day sometimes or rewrite them,
Well, this looks fantastic. Channing Tatum, Jonah Hill are here. We're going to take a quick break and come back. 21 Jump Street opens tomorrow everywhere. Go see it or you're no... We have in the studio with us Channing Tatum and Jonah Hill from 21 Jump Street, which opens tomorrow.
Yes, sir.
Besides you guys, the cast that you've assembled for this movie is just fantastic. Some of the funniest people working today. Just from the trailer, I see Offerman in there, Nick Offerman, who's just hilarious.
Nick Offerman from Parks and Rec, Ice Cube.
Riggle, right? You got Rob Riggle in there?
Rob Riggle is...
How funny
crazy
is that guy?
I can't. You
from
will
Step
never,
Brothers.
Very rarely see me in a three shot with these two because I can't keep my stuff together.
Really?
Like,
I
crack up. I crack up.
Yeah,
every time.
I never had anyone make me break as hard as Rob does. Rob Riggle's genius.
Geniusly
man.
Funny. Yeah.
And
Lieutenant Colonel in the military too.
Yeah.
You mean he really was, or he is?
Yeah.
He is.
He is.
Active
what?
Duty.
Yeah. What?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Rob Riggle?
Yeah. Straight up.
If you ever see his stand-up, he's got some great stuff about him being in the service.
What? Yeah. Yep. Still?
Yeah.
Still.
What?
Still active.
Kevin, stop asking that.
My head's exploding.
Ask and answer.
He's not only like the funniest guy, but he's like the greatest guy. And then Nick Offerman from Parks and Rec, Jake Johnson from New Girl, who's hysterical in the movie, Ellie Kemper from The Office, Ice Cube, obviously.
Sure.
Who else?
Davey Franco.
Oh, Dave Franco's really funny.
Brie Larson.
Oh, yeah, Brie Larson.
Man.
Great
this
cast.
It's going to be great.
Yeah.
Can't wait. You shot it in New Orleans?
Yeah, we shot in New Orleans.
What was that like? What's New Orleans
like? I kind of remember shooting in New Orleans.
I remember a good 6 hours. Yeah, I got to say a good
the
six
first
hours.
Day, I remember.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then after that, it was like...
It gets a little moonshiny.
Yeah, Channing found the moonshine hookup about one day into shooting.
Wait a minute. Time out.
He would just...
Made it still moonshine?
We would have jars of moonshine delivered to set, and it was just all downhill.
It was called Ducks Fly Low.
Really?
He would tell me that his daughter would draw. He'd draw like a little duck on the thing with like X's for eyes and stuff. Like I was just like, that's dark, dude. But you're making this in your like in your bathtub at home, and we didn't go blind though. So that's
that's the upside.
That's a positive.
Although I did have to get LASIK right after. The movie. I'm serious.
Why?
His vision went.
Vision went. Literally went blind from drinking so much.
You know, you guys are both in the stage of your careers. You could probably afford to buy alcohol that's made, you know, in a factory.
That's no
fun,
man.
That's no fun at all.
So fun. They would bring a jar. It'd be so fun. And it was like
a hand drawn label.
Was it different each time?
Like
it
was totally different. Yeah. It's just a different buzz. Like,
yeah,
it's like
it's different.
It's like
it's
a body. Like your body gets hot. Like I mean, you're just like, what is happening?
It's honestly
it sounds like
best.
The flu.
Yeah, you're drinking. Yeah, you're drinking like you know the bird flu.
As far as you know, you might be
quite possible. Maybe that's what Ducks Fly Low was.
It was the dying ducks that fly low, and they used that in the pressings.
It was the ducks with like mad cows.
What's the crazy thing about disease. The crazy thing about shooting in New Orleans is on Fridays you generally shoot from like about 5 p.m. till dawn. Mm-hmm. Like so, everyone in the entire crew in New Orleans would just go to the bar. That would still be open, and there would be people inside.
At like 8 a.m. and people still drinking.
And you party till 12, so from 8 to 12, like noon, and then everyone's so fall down drunk, and we're just like, all right, everybody go home, and we'll meet right back here in 6 hours.
Was there a day when one of you couldn't make it? One day.
To work?
Yeah.
No.
Really?
Well,
to the bar?
There was one day where I lost my voice. That was really messed up.
Yeah, that was the closest. That was the closest to it, though.
But it was because...
You lost your voice because of the movie or because of
the
moonshine?
Just because of hard work and moonshine mixed together.
Burned his throat drinking Ducks Fly Low.
Yeah.
Drinking that duck juice. Voice.
But it was because there were certain moments where, like, the schedule shifted around where we didn't know we were shooting.
Oh, I see.
Like I would never be that irresponsible on purpose.
If you knew it.
Yeah, I thought I had the day off or something.
I literally asked the director one day. I was like, hey, okay, some people came into town last night. What do we have up tomorrow? Oh, you just got this little scene, you know, you're in and out. Nope. We have like an 8-9 page scene. Oh. I've never been so hungover in my life doing a scene, and you can tell. Like,
can you tell. What are you doing in the scene? Can you tell us?
It's not in the movie.
Did not make the final cut. Well, you were about to tell me, and he jumped right in there.
Well, it's basically not in the movie, but it's a really scaled down version of it. I was hurting, man. That was bad. It was really bad.
Maybe Rotten Tomatoes has a point. Maybe that's all I'm saying.
Yeah, exactly.
Man. That's that kind of behavior.
Maybe I should actually start drinking more during the. Because this is the first time that I've gotten good reviews.
But the moonshine. It's got to be the moonshine from that group that are making it in their tub. Well, I got to tell you, we totally appreciate you guys coming in. We're so happy. Cannot possibly wait for this movie to come out tomorrow. 21 Jump Street. You can follow on Twitter at Jonah Hill or at Channing Tatum. Go see the movie tomorrow.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks for coming.
Honor to be here.
Thank you. We appreciate it.
Love you guys.
More tickets this hour to be in the building at K-Rock next Monday. The Red Bull Sound Space at K-Rock. Green Day is going to be performing live. Stryker is going to be interviewing them. The whole thing is going to be webcast at K-Rock.com next Monday at 3 o'clock. But how much better would it be to be here in person with the boys?
Yes.
The best.
Any chance you can win coming up this hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Jeffrey Ross joins us next hour. Ralph, you're a romantic guy. It's one thing I know about you.
The most.
You love to impress the ladies, love to do something special for the women.
I like to turn their heads. Yes. I don't have anything to work with physically. So I have to do it with grand gestures and with whatever modicum of charm I can muster up.
Ralph seems like the kind of guy to me who really gives some thought to, hey, it's our anniversary coming up. What are we going to do?
I remember once I was dating a young girl, and it was her 21st birthday, and I wanted to impress her. So what I did was a buddy of mine had just got his license, and he was renting a small plane, and I took her, drove her out to, I guess it was Van Nuys Airport, and we hopped in his single engine plane, And he flew us up to Santa Barbara, and there's a restaurant right there at the Santa Barbara airport called the Elephant Bar, I think it's called.
Damn.
And so it was a bottle of champagne waiting in the plane, flew her up in the plane, bottle of champagne, flew her to Santa Barbara. We had dinner at the restaurant, got back in the plane, flew her back, and we went home.
Pretty impressive.
That was her 21st birthday dinner plane. Right.
So you ruined her for all other guys after you, basically.
Yes, that's exactly what I did.
So they do nothing but pale in comparison.
Yes.
We're going to be taking phone calls here of the grand romantic gestures, things that you did to blow your partner's mind or a woman or a man you were trying to impress.
Hit the button there for a second.
Mind. We're going to be taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067.
They don't always go well, though. Sometimes they go horribly wrong, which is even
exactly.
If you've had one of those, that's what we really want to hear
that
about.
That plane ride, I would have thrown up.
See,
I can't
that
would have
been a
planes.
Bad surprise with you. Or if we, it crashed into a building
now,
or something.
Help me out.
It would have been a ending.
But I never would have seen you again that.
Help me out with this, guys, as I say, we take calls for grand gestures, whether they worked or didn't work.
But
we
especially the
stories.
Ones that didn't work.
That's especially the ones that didn't work.
Yeah, that's funnier.
1-800-520-1067 is our toll-free number here at K-Rock. It's a fine line for me to understand why what you did for the young lady in the restaurant and the champagne in the Santa Barbara is cool, yet you were extremely down on your friend Justin Bieber for renting out the Staples Center to have a private dinner with his girlfriend and watch Titanic on the big screen. Why is that bad?
Of proportion,
it's
Bean.
A look-at-me move.
Exactly. You can go from doing something nice for someone versus you blow it on such a grand scale that it's obviously you are just trying to make it self-aggrandizing. You're making it about you. Look at what I can do versus this is something special I'm going to do for someone else. I guarantee you it was never a fantasy of Selena Gomez to be sitting in a basketball arena watching a movie. I guarantee you that was not on her bucket list.
So what you're saying is there's one thing that's if it's big and it's to make the other person feel good. It's another thing if it's so big that it's only for to make you look good.
Well, and that's
I'm
not
so
where you
rich,
see a movie.
I can rent out the Staples Center to watch a movie.
What a crappy place to see a movie.
Exactly.
Rent out a theater.
Right. Right. And it would have been the same experience. If he had set up a nice dinner at Grauman's Chinese or something, it would have been much more appropriate than him saying, well, I can rent out the entire Staples Center because I'm so huge.
I suspect, by the way, that they gave him Staples Center because he sold it out a few times. They
I'm sure,
did
whatever.
Nice
he's
all right,
dick.
So no on Bieber. Let me throw this one, and you tell me if this is good or bad. Where does this fall on your scale of trying to impress someone? A wealthy Russian businessman who wanted to propose to his girlfriend decided to test her love for him before popping the question by faking his own death. A stuntman, a makeup artist, a screenwriter, and a director to stage a phony car crash. 30-year-old Alexei Bykov of Omsk told Arina Kolakov to meet him at a certain place at a certain time. He had it planned so that she could witness the aftermath of the accident. In other words, she shows up. When she arrives, there's mangled cars everywhere. There's ambulances. There's smoke. There's carnage. She walks upon the scene and sees what she thinks is her boyfriend covered in blood, lying on the road with an actor playing a paramedic saying, I'm sorry, he's dead.
Awesome.
Well, that is a loving gesture if I
so
have
romantic.
Ever heard one.
Oh, no, I meant to say psychotic.
What a jerk.
So she thinks her boyfriend is dead. She collapses into a little ball of tears. He says, mission accomplished. He jumps up from the dead, runs up to her covered in blood, and proposes to her on the spot. That's what he does to impress
her. That is a guy desperate for a yes answer. Because she's so happy to see that you're not dead, she has to say, well, yes, I want to spend the rest of my life with
you.
If
she just kind of liked him, that would be really, really upsetting. I mean, you'd still burst into tears.
If it was a stranger, I would emotionally
too.
Scarred forever.
And this guy does sound like a jackass because listen to what he said afterwards. I wanted her to realize how empty her life would be without me and that life would have no meaning without me.
That is true love. Honey, if I die, you should die too.
I wish she had killed herself. I wish she had thrown herself off a cliff when he did it. So he's standing going, oh, crap. Who's sorry now, Pavel?
And by the way, she did say yes. She did agree to marry him.
She will regret
that. She was in shock.
All right, one more, and then we go to your calls. Your grand gesture, especially if it didn't work, at 1-800-520-1067. Here's a guy in China now who thought he would do something romantic that his girlfriend would never forget. So he asked a friend to box him up and ship him via a courier service to his girlfriend's office. So a big box is going to arrive at his girlfriend's office. She's going to go, oh, what's this? I didn't order anything. She's going to open it up, and boom, her boyfriend's going to jump out to surprise her. Romantic or not romantic?
Romantic. I say I vote romantic.
I say you disappointing. Like I want something cool in the box.
Lisa wants furniture or a jam box or something. She doesn't want a man coming
out. A car.
Well, here's how this one went. The gag became a bit too literal when the couriers delivered the box to the wrong address. The man ended up almost dying after 3 hours inside the box with no air holes.
That's on him.
The gift finally arrived at the intended destination, but the man had already passed out. Paramedics were called to resuscitate him. I didn't realize it would take so long. I tried to make a hole in the cardboard, but it was too thick, so I couldn't. He also did not want to spoil the surprise by shouting because, of course, he didn't know he was at the wrong address. He thought he was just sitting there in his girlfriend's office waiting for her to open it. He didn't want to spoil the surprise.
Airtight.
The courier firm says if they had known that a person was inside the box, they would not have accepted the job. So this guy, it didn't work out for him, but you say he still gets points because it was a great idea and it's okay on the scale, right?
His intent was absolutely romantic. His execution makes him a dumbass.
All right. Let's go to Ryan now. Line 1, 1-800-520-1067. Grand romantic gestures is what we're talking about here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Not sure we've ever done this one before. Ryan, what'd you do?
Morning, guys. My wife, who I'm married to now, had always dated total douches.
Mm-hmm.
When I proposed to her, I had to top it off. I got a helicopter to privately fly her over to Catalina. When she landed, I was waiting there for her to ask her hand in marriage.
Wow.
Well done, sir.
Yeah,
nicely
that's
done.
Darn romantic.
So, in other words, it was like she was on an episode of The Bachelor or something like that, right? It was just so crazy over the top. It's like something she had never experienced before. It was like a romantic fairy tale for her.
Exactly, yeah.
And how long have you guys been married?
We've been married 5 years now.
Wow, excellent. Well done. All right.
Did she ever admit to servicing the helicopter pilot on the way over?
Oh, my God.
I'm just saying.
You've just ruined his perfect memory, Ralph. He thought that was a great night until you just put that in his head.
I just wanted to think about things a little more carefully. That's all.
Let's do one more, and then we're going to take a break. Michael is on line 6. He joins us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. 1-800-520-1067. Hi, Michael. Thanks for calling.
Hey, thanks, guys. Hi.
Hi.
Your gesture. What did you do?
So I'm currently in a long-distance relationship with this cute little girl in Chicago, and hadn't done anything sweet in a long time, so I found an artist up there and had a big, big, like, 8-foot by 10-foot sidewalk chalk piece done, like kind of a Sailor Jerry tattoo of a heart with the arrow through it and our initials and sparrows and everything drawn outside our apartment window.
That's adorable.
It is. That's very cool.
So, and a total surprise to her, obviously, because you're, 1,000 miles away or something. So she just wakes up, looks outside, and boom, there it is, right on the sidewalk, you and her together.
Exactly.
And what happened? Did she then call you when she saw it or something? She's all weepy?
She went berserk. She lost her cork. She called, thought it was the cutest thing, sent me pictures of it.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah,
that's great. Nicely done.
Were you able to flip her over the next time you guys got together? No, I'm saying because she was
we
so
We know
happy.
What you're saying.
Do you think it makes her feel worse now because she's not faithful in Chicago?
Come on, Ralph.
Why do you say that to Michael?
You probably make her feel very guilty. That's
this
all.
This sounds like true love. Come on.
She's moving here next week, guys.
Yeah. See?
That won't go well.
Which means she just had to break up with her Chicago boyfriend, too. But all right, Michael, thank you very much for the call.
Get a full panel of tests, that's all I'm saying.
We appreciate it. All right, so far the romantic gestures haven't backfired.
We want backfires!
You're not going to be happy until both parties are crying.
I want somebody passing out in a cardboard box.
1-800-520-1067. Your call's next on the Kevin and Bean Show at K-Rock.
Airtight.
All right, Ralph, you're going to be happy. We got some tears on the line.
There
now.
We go. Some disasters.
Talking about grand romantic gestures, preferably that went awry. They got to be awfully cute for us to be interested if they didn't go badly. But we want to hear from you at 1-800-520-1067. Talking about this one guy who faked his own death to get his fiancée to realize that her life wasn't worth going on without him.
Yes.
That one worked out for him because she said yes. Another guy tried to mail himself in a cardboard box and then it got delivered to the wrong address and he almost died.
Delivering your corpse to your girlfriend, that would be a fail.
That would be a gesture. I think you're going to be very pleased with Melanie, though. She's on line 6 to get us going here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Melanie. What's going on?
Hi.
Thank you for calling.
Of course. Hello. I'll get you going with a little bit.
Good.
So my ex-boyfriend was my neighbor, and he went out on top of the balcony that was above the second-story window with a big sign that said, "You are my girl, just let go." He started singing "Sonny and Cher, I Got You, Babe," and he fell off the roof and broke his leg.
Oh, no.
That's okay. Awesome.
And I just looked like a ghost. My eyes were bulging out of my head, and I thought, well, I guess now I should date him.
Yeah, you're guilted into it. How long did the relationship last after that?
2 years.
Oh, so it was a pretty good run.
It worked
pretty
out.
Pretty good run.
And then you realized he was just a dumbass and broke up with him?
Well, no, he was a bit of a man boy, so I just couldn't deal with that anymore.
See, that's the thing about grand romantic gestures. Sometimes it's actually disguising some immaturity and some people who are a little insecure and a little desperate.
Well, he was also 41 years old, so I'm kind of curious, where's this immaturity coming from?
And he's got no business climbing up on roofs then, for sure, if he's 41.
Exactly. No, he's going to break a leg anyway. Thank you very much for the call. We really appreciate it, Melly. Let's go to... Nope, not out of time.
We're out of time already?
100% the wrong
time. That was just one phone call.
Let's talk to Jody. Jody is on line two with her grand romantic gesture that went awry. Hi, Jody. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, guys. Lisa May.
Hello.
How are you, Buck? All right, so I was into this chick for a while, and, you know, back and forth, I tried to hook up with her, and eventually I had the opportunity. I found out she was down on her luck. She lost her car, had an auto accident, that sort of thing. So through our little 6 weeks of being together, I said, you know what, I'm going to buy you a car. So I bought her a car. My stupid person put it in her name. A week later, she slept with somebody, so I couldn't get the car back.
Yeah! You lost the girl and the car.
Jody, bought a girl a car after 6 weeks. That's crazy.
Well, I knew her for a lot of years, so it was, you know, like, but I knew she was just out of a relationship, and I always liked her, and then here you go, boom. I bought her a car. Maybe it was a grand ploy. I don't know. Yeah.
Did you try hard to talk her into giving you that car back?
I did everything, like have a lawyer, serve her with letters and stuff like that. But
that's
the
ugly.
The state of Florida says you can't do it, so you can't do it.
Of course, Florida. Yeah.
I mean, it was a gift. That's basically what it boiled down to, is it was a gift. You got no
Jody.
Rights to it, right?
Are you stupid?
No, come on. Give Jody a break.
Hey, I understand now. It's 20 years ago, but still.
That's a great story, though, Jody. Thanks so much for the call. All right.
What a whore she is.
Let's go to Jen. Jen is on line four. This one I don't think ended poorly, but I want to get your guys' judgment on how great a romantic gesture this is. Hi, Jen. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hi, Kevin and Bean.
Hey, Jen. What was the gesture?
It was a gesture. I wrote my boyfriend a book for Valentine's Day. It was our first Valentine's Day. I wasn't making much money at the time, so I couldn't really afford anything. And he took me on this huge trip and strawberries and champagne and everything. And in the morning, I said, well, I have a gift for you. And I gave him the book, the 250-page book, pictures of my poetry that I had written.
I think we lost her.
She wrote her boyfriend a 250-page book.
And she expected him to read it?
She's psychotic.
Okay, that's just homework. You're giving him homework. That's not romantic.
A one-page book with a picture of you naked would have been preferable than a 250-page book that you wrote your own poetry in.
I can't see, I mean, if you're a husband of 50 years, I can't see you being excited about a 250-page book that your wife wrote.
No. That shows a little mania, I think. If she's cranking out 250 pages.
She's up every night writing.
It's a little psychotic.
All right, let's do one more. Let's talk to Anthony. I don't know what he's trying to prove here, but it sounds like he has gone above and beyond in every possible way. Anthony, welcome to the show. What's your grand romantic gesture?
Hi there. Actually, I have a series of them. I've been dating my girlfriend for 3 years now, actually. October 4th will be 3 years. And on her first birthday, I went ahead and got her a hot air balloon ride.
That's very romantic.
Yeah, with a banner that said, happy birthday.
That's nice.
And a cake at the end when we landed. And it was amazing. She's the greatest person, by the way. So the second year, all her friends were like, what are you going to do now? What are you going to do now?
See, that's the problem. How do you top yourself?
So I got her out in Van Nuys. I got her to fly a plane. They kind of took off for her. And she got to fly it around from Van Nuys to the coast and back. And then they landed it for her.
Wow.
She loved it. It was amazing. Yeah. Then the third year, her third birthday, she got to drive a NASCAR. She did 20 laps.
What are you, dude, you're Mr. Rourke on Fantasy Island. You're not a boyfriend.
This sounds like the stuff he wants to do.
No, and by the way, except for the hot air balloon, I didn't do any of the stuff.
Really?
She got to do everything. And then this year, which was actually on the 13th of this month, I'm in law school now, so I'm completely broke. She got a birthday card with a $100 bill in it and a cupcake with candles in it.
Wait, you gave your girlfriend $100 for her birthday?
I gave her a $100 bill and a beautiful car.
Boy, are you thinking like a lawyer. What girl wants cash for her birthday?
Yeah, you could buy something with
Being
that.
Being every girl. That's the answer to your question.
Really?
Yes. See, this is, Anthony, I don't know what you're setting yourself up here for, man, but you're going to start stressing out year after year the longer you stay with this chick. This is why I keep my wife's expectations so ridiculously low.
Yeah. If Bean says happy birthday on her birthday, she considers that a win.
It's like fireworks. Exactly. All right, Anthony, we want to hear back from you next year and hear what you do.
$100 bill and a cupcake. She's like, what the hell is this?
Speaking of Ralph.
Yes.
Michael Bay in the news.
Douche.
I've never seen any of his movies, but they're terrible, right?
Douche.
why is the internet on fire about some announcement that he made about the upcoming Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle reboot? What's the beef here?
He's screwing with our heroes on the half shell.
You mean you're one of the crazy people who has the internet on fire over what Michael Bay is doing?
It's not crazy, man. It's just how things are meant to be.
What's he doing with the turtles?
Our four beloved mutant teenage ninja turtles have an origin, how they came to be. Toxic waste came across them while they were just little pet turtles in their bowl, and they mutated, as is in the name of the character, mutant, and became four crime-fighting turtles with ninja powers. Thanks to their mentor, Splinter the Rat.
Okay, so that's a realistic story.
What was the rat's name? Splinter, right? Yeah. And they were named after four, of course, classic Renaissance painters.
Right. So what's he doing with it? How is he changing it?
Well, he comes out and he's talking about how he's got the product now and he's going to make a big feature film. And he said, "Oh yeah, and they're going to be aliens."
By the way,
they're going to be aliens. They're going to come from another planet. No, that's not how it works.
But isn't it possible that the movie can still be great even if their origin is a little bit different, if they're aliens? But
no,
isn't the important thing?
No.
All right, let me ask the question.
No.
I made a joke. All right. I made a joke earlier that people were complaining that Michael Bay was raping their childhood, and I had not read this article yet from therap.com. Robbie Rist, former voice actor of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, said that the rape of our childhood memories continues.
Yes.
He says you are sodomizing the story.
Not only was Robbie Rist one of the Teenage Turtles, but he also was Cousin Oliver on the Brady Bunch. So you've got to take what he says for reals.
I know people believe in mutating talking turtles is kind of silly to begin with, but am I supposed to be led to believe that there are ninjas from another planet, he says? So apparently he is one of the many who is outraged. Michael Bay is saying that everybody should just chill. You don't know, man. You haven't seen the script. It's going to be great. So we asked producer Dave if he could line up the elusive director, producer Michael Bay, and find out what he really has in store for the changes he's got planned for Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. And I believe we have Mr. Bay on the phone with us right now. Hi, Michael. Can you hear us?
Hey, guys. How you doing? How's it going, man?
Hey, we're doing great. Thank you so much.
Teenage Ninja Turtles is going to be awesome, dude. It's going to be amazing.
Okay, I appreciate your enthusiasm for the project, but you haven't shot frame one yet, and you already have the Mutant Ninja Turtle fans up in arms.
Yeah,
What's going on?
I got so many ideas. It's going to be incredible. First of all, they're going to be from another planet, right? So they come here to Earth, and the next thing you know, like they start transforming into like cars and trucks and stuff and everything. They're mutant ninja nerd transforming Ninja Turtle cars.
Wait, hold on a sec. You're already doing those movies. That's Transformers. That doesn't have anything to do with the turtles.
And the next thing you know, all the turtles are on a battleship, and they see this creature come out of the out of the water, and then blow up, and then the other thing blows up, and one of the turtles blows up over there, and then the ship that was coming out of the water, that blows up too.
Okay, listen, that's Battleship. That's already a separate movie. You don't have to put all of your ideas into one film.
Then all the turtles go back in time, and it's like the 1940s, and the Japanese are coming at us, man. They come out of nowhere. They come to the skies. Oh, Ninja Turtles, Dominant Bombs. Oh, they're Navy Mutant Ninja Turtle Pearl Harbor Turtles.
They don't have to have anything to do with Pearl Harbor again. That was a movie based on a historical event. Why can't you just make the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles based on the origin that people already love about them?
Then the turtles get in prison, and they're like, they're on Alcatraz, right? And they got to get off Alcatraz. So how are they going to do it? Well, they got bombs, and they start blowing up Alcatraz, and then the Japanese are dying left and right, and then they transform into giant robot ninja turtle spacecraft from alien planet Turtlesville, Ania.
I think maybe less caffeine for you, and maybe let somebody else write the script.
Dude, it's going to blow up. And then April, right? And she's like, oh, Ninja Turtles! Oh, you said, help me, help me! Like, we'll help you, April! We'll blow up!
Time for...
Would you like to take that back? Would you like to take that back? Tell me, would you take that back? Would you like to take that back? Would you like to take that back? Tell me, would you take that back?
This is a feature that we came up with a number of years ago where it gives us the opportunity to maybe... I don't know, something that we regret, something we shouldn't have said. It gives us a chance to take it back and kind of apologize to the audience a little bit. We don't always feel that way, but sometimes in retrospect we do. So that's why we now have this opportunity to do so.
People will occasionally come up to me and ask me who writes our stuff. And I know that they don't listen, because if they listen, they could tell that we don't have writers.
Nothing is written.
Right. So this is the first one. This is my man, Bean. Ralph is talking about birthdays.
Tiffany Thiessen. It used to be Tiffany Amber Thiessen. But she lost her Amber. She is 38 years old.
Nick, we should send out an Amber Alert. Try to find her.
No.
What?
File.
Just,
file, yeah.
But, come on.
That's pretty good.
File.
I'll back you.
You're out.
Would you like to take that back?
If I want to take back Amber Alert, no.
Would you like to take that back?
I'm proud of that. I think that's a good one.
I'm standing by it.
I'm going to play a tiny clip of what we just heard, and then I want you to reconsider. You ready?
All right.
I'll back you.
All right. What about that?
Would you like to take that back?
Lisa has so much beef with more gusto that she says, I'll back you.
Lisa's very tepid, but on your side there.
Ralph said she lost her Amber.
Right.
Right.
I understand.
Okay, that's
Amber
already
alert.
Not that great.
Would you like to take that back?
Well, mine wasn't a joke. I was just saying she lost the Amber part of her name. She dropped
right.
it.
Right.
Look, if the question is,
would you like to take that back?
No, I would not like to take that back. I'm standing by it. I'm happy with that.
All right. This is a long clip, but I had to leave it long because it all leads up to the punchline, and this is my man Ralph as he's doing the showbiz.
So he's an Elvis impersonator dressed as Elvis, who the cops show up to pick up because he's wanted, okay?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
He barricades himself inside the motel room. As they approach him, he holds up a vial full of white powder, saying it's ricin, the poison that can kill a human instantly. Then he opens up his jumpsuit, and he's got C4 explosives strapped to his body. After a 4-hour SWAT standoff, Elvis was taken into custody. The ricin turned out to be table salt.
Yeah.
The C4 was fake. It was modeling clay that he had...
a prop.
Now, in retrospect, he blames his behavior on diabetes.
On diabetes?
Yes, he said his blood sugar was low. I apologize to the public. I was disoriented. Guess he was all shook up.
Okay. All right. Man, file.
Come on! That old joke led up to that one. That was sweet.
Nope. You'll have a chance.
No way.
Oh. Would you like to take that back?
That was a well-crafted Shaggy Dog story.
The whole story was for that punchline.
Yeah.
That was the best 40 minutes of that show.
No way. That was sweet.
Ask Rodney to come in. We need Rodney
Bingenheimer. Rodney!
Rodney Bingenheimer, would you like to take that back for the first time? Wow.
Bean is explaining. Right. Hey, Rodney. Welcome to Would
Finally,
You Like to Take That Back?
I've been in the hallways all these years. I get to come in.
All right. Now, Bean is explaining Coachella.
All right. Coachella.
And Rodney has a...
Bon Iver is going to be playing on the middle night of each weekend. The Shins are playing. Noel Gallagher's High Flying Birds on the bill. Here's what I love about Coachella.
The Shins are playing between the ankles and the knees.
Really?
Well, I don't know about that, but...
Can we put that in the file?
Would you like to take that back?
Boomtown Rats.
Now, it's a yes or no. The yes or no question is...
Would you like to take that back?
And then you say yes.
Oh, all right.
Or no.
Belinda Carlisle.
Yes, yes or no?
All right, the Bengals.
Would you like to take that back?
Yes.
Close enough. Close enough. We'll take that as a yes. Thank you, Rodney.
We'll take it. Yesterday, we were talking about airline trouble, people who get in trouble on the airline. And I started the, quote, comedy, unquote, and then Bean really drove it home. And I believe Bean needs to take it back. But I'm willing to consider my role.
So we're taking off out of Oakland, and we hit a flock of seagulls as we're taking off.
The band? You hit the band, the flock of seagulls? What were they even doing in Oakland?
It knocks out one of the engines. And we start going down in the bay.
Wow.
They end up putting three holes in the airplane that we're in. They patched up that plane. We stayed on that plane and flew it to Burbank.
But once that plane landed, I bet you ran. You ran so far away, right?
Boo!
Boo is right! Boo and file, says the listener. Boo and file, boo. Says the listener.
Boo. Would you like to take that back?
Boo, indeed.
The listener booed you. All right. Are you going to take yours back, Kevin?
No, wait. Kevin should not take that back.
I am not taking back
the seagulls. You know why? Because that was the alley-oop. He went up and he jammed it.
Right.
That, and then 4 minutes in the quarter go by, and you go back to the flock of seagulls reference from 4 minutes ago and put up a lame jump shot that just rattles around the iron.
I see your point. Yeah. I think I agree with you. And I think not only will I take it back,
yes!
I am also man enough to admit that in the exact same circumstance, it would be impossible for me to not say the exact same line again. I just couldn't help myself.
So you're
I just
take
had
it
to
back,
say it.
But yes. Unfortunately, you're tied to that joke.
And fortunately, I would do it again. But yes, in this case, I regret it. Yes.
All right. And finally,
it's like that girl you shouldn't keep going back and having sex with. You just can't stop yourself.
All right. And finally, LaQuisha's on the phone. Hey, LaQuisha.
What?
Would you like to take that back?
I ain't watch no damn Jersey Shore.
No, it's not about Jersey Shore. It's about one of your reports and one of the jokes that you made. This is it.
And she has come up with a persona for this bunny costume.
Great.
Her name is Lola. She is not a showgirl.
Oh, man.
File.
Wow. File, LaQuisha, sorry.
How dare you file my ass?
File.
I'm going to cut you.
You file. Where it's filed.
It's filed, LaQuisha.
Is that
you making a Barry Manilow lyric reference from
her name was Lola. 1978?
Yes, it was.
That's right. I did it. You got a problem with that?
Well, we're asking you a question.
Would you like to take that back?
I ask you a question. Would you like to kiss my ass?
Can I take that as a yes?
No, you can't take that as a yes.
Okay. All right, so no.
I know where you work.
All right, take it easy.
So you're standing by. I'll see you later today.
No, it was Bean that suggested you should take it back.
Oh, I'm going to Fantasy Island then.
That's what I'm talking about.
Would you like to take that back?
Coming up, we have Shane Satterfield from GameTrailers.com talking about all the new video games that are coming out or have come out. Halo and Assassin's Creed 3 and Call of Duty 2 and a bunch of different games that are coming out. Very excited about that. First, it's time to talk about Taylor Swift, or as we like to call her, Tate-Off Switler.
Yes.
There's a news story that Ralph did in the showbiz yesterday about her stealing a lyric from an artist that she claims she's loved for a long time. The guy's name is Matt Nathanson, and he did a song in 2003. So here are her lyrics. Here's Taylor Swift's lyrics. And I forget about you long enough to forget why I needed to. Nathan's reads... And I'll forget about you long enough to forget why I need to.
Yeah.
Stealing.
Totally. And she's a fan of his.
And she's a fan, so she clearly is familiar with the song. It's not a surprise. So we decided we would check in with Tate-Off Switler this morning. Good morning, Tate-Off.
Oh, my God.
How are you today?
I can't believe y'all called me.
Right.
Oh, I can't believe you called me.
Right.
Oh, this is such a surprise.
It's not really a surprise. You knew it was... You knew it was coming because King of Mexico told you.
Oh, okay.
All right.
So nice talk to you.
Good. We're reading a story here, though, about you and how you seem to be lifting lyrics from other songs.
Oh, I can't believe you say that about me.
Well, it's not just me. I mean, there's a lot of stories.
Oh, I can't believe it.
Are you a fan of Matt Nathanson?
I love Matt. He does great work.
Okay. And did your song All Too Well copy one of his songs? Well, I mean, it is pretty clear. It's "And I Forgot About You Long Enough to Forget Why I Needed to."
Yeah.
You recognize those lyrics?
Yeah, I love those lyrics.
Because Matt Nathanson wrote "And I'll Forget About You Long Enough to Forget Why I Need to."
Oh, my God. I can't believe it. What a coincidence.
That's not a coincidence, Taylor.
That's a coinky ding.
It really is not.
That just happened.
It didn't.
It accidentally happened. Oh, my God. I can't believe that happened. Oh.
Isn't it more likely that you just liked those words and decided to put them in your song?
No, because I am a singer-songwriter. I write all my own things.
Right, but this is clearly a full line. It's not just a word or two. It's a full line from Matt Nathanson.
I have to say, I don't appreciate you calling me a thief.
Well, it looks to me like you are one.
Oh, my God, I can't believe I can't believe you're doing that.
The lines are too close.
Listen, I'm writing all the new songs for my next record, and every one of them is original and mine alone. Okay. And I really resent that because those kind of rumors could really have an effect on my career.
Well, it's not just a rumor. I mean, the words are identical.
Oh, my God, I can't believe you said that.
And both songs are out.
You won't get that up.
Both songs are out, so everyone can check.
No, but listen, you want to hear my new music?
No.
Some original music from me that is mine, and you'll see that my songs come from me and from the heart.
Do I have a choice to say no on? Do I want to hear
a couple of songs I'm working on right now. Here we go. My heart is hurting. Hope is fading. Here I am now. We once dated.
What?
I used to love you. Now you're hated.
Okay.
My hair's straight now. Used to be braided. I'm a singer.
Okay, that's
songwriter.
That's Nirvana.
These songs are mine. Not Nirvana.
That's the Nirvana song.
Yeah.
That's just a Nirvana.
Oh. My God! Can't believe it! Oh! That's my new song.
That's not a new song by you. That's,
that is my song. It's mine alone.
That's
a
Nirvana
song.
I'm
looking forward to dropping that soon. Here's another song of mine called My Sweet Child. I think you're really going to enjoy it.
Okay.
I've got dreams, and it seems to me that we broke up, and now I'm sad as can be, and everything is as stale as a dark black sky.
See, that's Guns N' Roses. That's not...
Now and then, when we broke up, it makes me angry, and I'm really angry, and I'm angry. I'm really angry that we broke up.
Right, that's Sweet Child of Mine.
No, it's not. That's my song.
It really is Sweet Child of Mine.
That's my song.
You didn't write that.
Here's my new song. I think this one's going to be a big hit.
Okay. No. Nope.
Tell the Christmas fruit outside my window.
Nope.
Tell the Christmas fruit outside my tree.
Yeah.
I wish that you could see me being Taylor Swift like me. Outside my window, my nose.
Okay, all right.
What'd you think?
I like that one. I'm a big... Oh! Why is this happening? Taylor! Why?
Oh, I make myself sick.
Not my fault.
King, why last week did you have A-listers lined up out the door to get on the Kevin and Bean show? This week, all of a sudden, you can't get one MTV guy on the phone?
Maybe that's a question you should ask yourself, Bean. Maybe that's a question you should ask yourself.
It does happen every time.
It does. Yes, I'm saying the guests flock to the show, and they know Bean's on vacation, and when he comes back, they tend to stay away like the plague.
That's interesting when you put it that way.
Yeah, how about that?
You get your Will Ferrell and your Channing Tatum and your William H. Macy, and the list just goes on and on.
Allison Brie, Jonah Hill.
Yeah.
This week I can't get freaking Dierdick on the phone.
Nope.
That's what you're telling me. Yeah. Come on, Dave. Well, listen, we were planning on talking to Rob, and hopefully we still will. The premiere of the new season of Fantasy Factory happens tonight on MTV. If you see Mr. Dierdick, do tell him he missed our call. But I'm actually glad that we have a minute here, because I made reference to something in the Showbiz Report a few minutes ago, Ralph, that really just floored me. Because Dave, I don't think of as being a stupid man. And I don't think of as making ridiculously poor choices. Yet he said something during the song that shocked me, which is that he won't go see the Will Ferrell movie, no matter how much he loves Will Ferrell, and he does, because it's subtitled. And
I can't get my head
around that as a thing that a human would say. Please help me here.
Well, hold on. There's two reasons why. One, I don't want to read.
What do you mean you don't want to read?
Hold on.
We all have to read every day in our life. It's secondhand.
I don't want to read
second nature
at the movies. And two, it's in Spanish. I just
so
don't.
That's the point of it. Is in Spanish, Dave. Yes. That's the crux of it. It's like saying, and I don't want to see Star Wars because it takes place in outer space.
Well, if I wasn't interested in outer space, then I wouldn't see Star Wars.
But you're interested in comedy, right? You're interested in laughing,
yeah.
Right?
Yes.
A good film. You like good films and good comedies?
Yes. And luckily, 21 Jump Street was out there, and I could watch that.
Right. You got that. And then you also have this, which is hilarious in a completely different way. The fact that it's in Spanish isn't a detriment. It's not a mark against it.
It's in a language that I don't want to hear, and then...
You're a freaking Mexican. Your parents
Mexican.
Are fluent.
No,
they habla
I
at home.
Don't want to hear it. You know, it's the reason why I don't watch Channel 34. You know, it's like,
oh my god,
this is
you're
insane.
So the point
but Channel 34,
of
Channel 34 is an English subtitle. This is made so that anyone who speaks English or Spanish can go and enjoy the
film. It's part of the humor. It's actually part of the humor.
It's just a lot of extra work.
It's and not extra work. You're sitting your
at
ass
the movie
in a theater staring at a screen. It's the same amount of work.
Dave, so, how
it
hard is it?
His texting, as you pointed
yeah,
out
earlier,
Ralph.
Yeah, you text in theaters. That's reading and writing. That's twice as much work.
But even if I were to text, if I would look down to my phone when I was texting, I wouldn't miss anything because I could hear it. And if I... You know,
oh, that's the problem.
He doesn't want to watch the screen? You don't want to focus on the film because so, you'll see what's going on?
I mean, what if I'm eating my popcorn and I drop it and I go, whoops, try to clean it up real quick. I miss something. Boom, movie's ruined.
Oh, my
Dave,
God.
This is madman speaking.
Have you never seen a subtitled movie, Dave?
Once when I went to go see the original Batman, but it was subtitled in Spanish. And
what?
It was annoying. Because they were subtitling for Spanish instead of English.
You mean
you saw it in Mexico City?
Almost, East LA. But
no, you mean you saw a movie that was in English, but it had writing on the bottom of the screen for people who wanted to read
exactly.
it in Spanish.
And that was annoying. So, you know what? I don't want to read
But this isn't annoying. This isn't like a byproduct. See, it's annoying when you're watching an English film that's written in a foreign language because it's disturbing what you're already appreciating. This time, the English translation is key to your enjoyment of the film.
You understand, I didn't even watch Will Ferrell's interview with Jimmy Kimmel because it had subtitles. I just said, oh, that's funny.
Okay,
cool.
We have to tie him down and make him do this.
You are lazy to a mythic proportion.
You say lazy, I say I know what I want.
It's like biblical lazy. You're like in the dictionary is your picture.
Why? I mean, listen. I'm not going to pay money to go and read. That's what I'm just saying.
Oh my
Why do you make it sound like they're asking you to build the pyramids with a whip on your back? It's just glancing at a screen and reading a freaking sentence.
They're not asking you to write the movie, right?
I don't want to do that at the movies.
Dave.
Holy crap.
Look, I understand if you're 11 and you're seeing your first ever subtitle movie. I understand that you go, ooh, this is different. This is weird. But most people get over it. Honestly, when you sit down in the theater, you forget that it's a subtitle movie in about the first 2 minutes. It just becomes part of the experience. You're just watching and enjoying a film.
Saw the trailer. I need to know. That's all I need to know.
This is stunning. I'm confounded. I can't even have this conversation because your logic is so backwards.
It's not backwards. I know what I want, and that's not what I want.
I know what I want.
All right, let me put it this way. Maybe this will help. Maybe this will bring you into the 21st century. If Kevin were saying this, I could understand it. Okay? You don't want to be on Kevin's side.
Yeah, you don't want to be a Kevin.
You don't want to be a Kevin, right? You're better than that, Dave.
You know me and Kevin are boys, so we
right,
boys.
I
don't mind being on his side when it comes to movies like this.
Well, he's never going to see The Artist, Dave.
I won't see it either, yeah.
That's what I mean.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So kind of he is Kevin.
This is not The Artist, though. This is a goofy, silly comedy starring Will Ferrell, and it's amazingly funny, and it's...
Kevin will see this
movie. Yeah, Kevin will absolutely
see this
movie.
He will not see this movie.
He absolutely will see this movie.
You know why? You know why? And this is for the same reason you should, which is Will Ferrell almost never disappoints. He is a tremendous comic actor, and
that is
true. Always funny. So he's going to be funny in this movie, too. Kevin knows that. He'll go.
It's funnier hearing him speak Spanish than it would be if he had done this movie in English.
You know, if it was for a couple of scenes, I would be all down for it, but not the whole movie.
Just too tiring for you? Just too exhausting?
Too much,
huh?
Man. It's too much. I don't know. You know, I want to go into a movie to relax and not...
It's not stressful to read. Can you read? Is this what you're trying to finally admit? Are you illiterate? You can't read? Is that why? Are you ashamed?
No.
You'll go to theater and start crying. Okay, I can't read. You have to admit it to everyone? Because it's so hard to sound out the words. The woe man. Is
that how it's going to work out for
but
you?
What if I'm reading something and I don't get it, so I have to reread it? Oh, it's gone. And now the scene's
reread
lost.
Reread it? And I'm throwing sonnets up on the screen. It's one line of dialogue.
I'm just saying.
Dave, they're not asking you to memorize the Encyclopedia Britannica. It literally, Ralph's right, it's a line of film at a time. That's it. You got to read a sentence and then move on to the next one.
Dave may be a poor reader. I think he may be a poor reader.
I think that might be it. But also, do you ever see a movie where somebody mumbles a line and you miss it? Does that ruin the whole movie for you? Do you just get up and walk out? Oh, I missed a line. That's it.
Oh, I did not understand what she just said. Now I have to leave.
And if it's mumbled, then I understand it's probably mumbled for a reason.
Oh,
that line's probably not important enough.
You are magic.
You are dead to me, my friend.
Listen, I'm right. It's okay.
You're not
it's
right.
It's okay for me to be right.
That's what's so frustrating.
I'm not telling you guys to go not watch it, but me personally, I will not.
Oh, dude.
You disappoint me.
Hit him in the nuts, Ralph. We got to go.
All right.